Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, Margaret?
Hi, John. This is Meghna. I'm just trying to connect Margaret now. Just a minute.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Oh.
Margaret?
Just a second, John. I'll just let you know because I can see her number and I'm trying to get her to go live. Just a minute. I'm also chatting with, I'm doing an online chat, John, with one of the client support desk people. So they're also trying to help me out with this issue. It's definitely a technical issue because she's trying to, the lady that I'm speaking to, the support operator, she's trying to do the same from her end and she's unable to unmute Margaret. So just a minute.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay. So, John, the support operator is going to unmute the 202 number. She figured out how to do that. So, I'm also on the call. Let's see
okay.
if we can.
Hello, this is Meg. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Meg.
Hello.
This is John Mills. I'm filling in for Susan today. She had a last minute. We're a husband and wife couple, and there was a last minute issue with one of our twin boys, so she apologizes for not being here.
That's okay. No problem.
And we really apologize for the technical issues. They were on the Blog Talk Radio end, and we couldn't unmute anybody.
That's okay. I understand the world of technical issues, believe me, so that's okay. And we're talking about caregivers, so we all need to be flexible anyway, just like caregivers teach us all.
Exactly. Before I go into the introduction and we start the show, I just wanted to quickly, how do you pronounce your last name so I get it correctly when I'm introducing
it's
you?
Cabot.
Okay, Cabot. I wasn't sure. Okay.
Yeah,
great.
And I
so,
usually go by Meg, so Meg Cabot.
Okay, great. All right. We'll start the show. Meg, are we ready to start the show?
Yes. I'm just having my chat with the support lady, and she's just answering the question because I had extended the radio show time to 45 minutes, and it's about 29 minutes now. So if we start the show, it would be about a 15 minute show. So I'm just figuring out with her whether we can extend for another 15 minutes. If
okay,
you can
great.
Hold on for just a minute.
Okay, great. Meg, do you have time to continue?
I do. Uh-huh.
Okay,
I had blocked out enough time, so no problem.
Okay, great. Yeah, normally this goes off seamlessly, but periodically, this is unfortunately one of those periodic times we run into this. The good news is that it records and we can edit out any issues. So when we put it up online, like if I think our conversation may be being recorded, but we'll go in and we'll basically edit it out, and then it'll start when Meghna tells us we can start the show.
Right. Great.
Yes. So, again, apologize.
Yes, my window's frozen too now. So just, sorry. So sorry. This has not happened at all in so many years. Just a minute.
Yeah. Periodically it happens. So. So I don't know if Susan taught to you at all. I mean, I assume she taught to you a little bit about the founding of Eker Diary and all of that. Correct, Meg?
At the coalition meeting.
At the coalition
meeting,
yeah.
Meeting that
so, so we founded it together. You know, she cared for her grandmother who had rheumatoid arthritis, and my father actually had Parkinson's disease for a decade. So it was all built out of our own personal experiences.
Great.
I think a lot of your work, you know, if it's personal experience or professional, but it's you know, so many of the issues are common. And one of the things we found has been very helpful is people who visit our site give us a lot of feedback. So we've tried to be very responsive to them.
Great.
I'm very excited to sort of hear about all the work you're doing at the Veterans Affairs Caregiver Support Program.
Thank you.
John, do you want to start the...
Yes.
It says that we have about... so we are into... Now it says we are on air, so we've been on air for 21 minutes, so I've scheduled this for 45 minutes, so we do have about another 20, 23 minutes. So do you want to get going? And while you're talking, I'll continue speaking with the support operator, and then if I can extend it, I'll shoot you both an email. I don't know if you can... check your email, but I would say just get going, and then you at least have 23 minutes.
Okay, that sounds great. Okay.
That's great.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Empowering Caregiver Show on Blog Talk Radio. I apologize to those of you who are just joining us now. We've had some technical issues with the show. I'm John Nils, co-founder of eCare Diary, and I'm your host today for today's show. Today we will be focusing on the Veterans Affairs Caregiver Support Program. To help shed light on this, I'm very pleased to introduce our distinguished guest, Meg. Meg, please introduce yourself, Meg. Let me start this over again.
Okay, it's Cabot like the cheese.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay,
that's okay.
Let's start this again because as I said, we can edit. Good afternoon and welcome to the Empowering Family Caregivers Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm John Mills, co-founder of eCare Diary and your host for today's show sponsored by eCare Diary. Today we'll be focusing on the Veteran Affairs Caregiver Support Program. To help shed light on this, I'm very pleased to introduce our distinguished guest, Meg Cabot, Deputy Director of the Department of Veteran Affairs Caregiver Support Program. A licensed social worker, she has worked with many populations, including the elderly, those struggling with mental illness, and adopted children. She has worked in many different roles for the United States Navy and the Department of Veterans Affairs, including case manager, VA liaison for healthcare, and federal recovery coordinator, ensuring the best care for America's veterans. Meg, thank you very much for joining us today, and we apologize for the technical difficulties we've had earlier.
That's no problem. I'm thrilled to be here, and I'm glad to get the opportunity to talk about what the VA is doing to support caregivers.
Great. So how was the VA Caregiver Support Program developed? And give us a little bit of the history behind the program.
Sure. I'm happy to do that. So back in the mid to late 2000s, as you know, there was more and more discussion going on in healthcare, in all kinds of different areas about caregivers and the role of family caregivers. And so Congress actually passed some legislation, and VA was required to have a series of pilots in which we piloted different kinds of programs to support family caregivers. And those pilots went on from about 2007 to about 2009 through congressional funding. And those pilots included different things such as telephone support groups, some telehealth initiatives, some transition programs in which a nurse would call sort of a new family caregiver when the veteran they were caring for was diagnosed with something that would require a lot of caregiving moving forward, and a couple of online programs, one of which was Building Better Caregivers, which is an online interactive support program, and also Reach VA. And Reach VA is something that we're very proud of. It's evidence-based, and it really demonstrated a lot of good stuff for caregivers. It really showed it's a very intensive, individualized program for caregivers of veterans with dementia. And that program really showed to help reduce caregiver burden and really educate and support caregivers, and also had some good outcomes for the veterans as well. So those pilot programs were going on, and at the same time, as everyone's aware, the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan were really heating up, and there were more and more wounded, severely wounded men and women coming home. And so the VA knew that we really had to support this particular group of caregivers of these seriously injured younger veterans, and there was a lot of push through Congress to pass some legislation to support caregivers. So in all of these things sort of came together in 2010, and President Obama signed a piece of legislation called the Veterans and Caregivers Omnibus Health Services Act of 2010, and the first title of that, Title I, is all about supporting family caregivers. And it actually carves out caregivers of veterans who were injured on or after September 11th, 2001, and gives them some enhanced and extended benefits, above and beyond what VA is able to do to support our caregivers of veterans from any era. So that's really how the program developed over time, and we started that comprehensive program for the post 9/11 veterans in May of 2011. So we've been up and running for more than 2 years now, and have been able to do a lot of things because of that legislation to support those caregivers, but also to support caregivers of veterans of all eras. So that's really sort of the birth of the program and where we are now.
It's great, and it's as we were talking before we went on air about the fact that I cared for my father who had Parkinson's, who's also a World War II veteran, it just the awareness is sort of the whole caregiving experience. Mm-hmm. To me, and my father passed away, I can't believe it was almost 6 years ago now, and just in those 5 to 6 years, the awareness of this whole issue has just exploded. It's wonderful that it has, but it's, this to me is just another sign of that. Can you talk a little bit about the services and benefits that are available to family caregivers of veterans?
Sure. The first thing I want to mention that I think is really important is that we have any good program needs a program champion. So we actually have clinicians, mostly social workers, but also some nurses, in a position called Caregiver Support Coordinator at each of the VA medical centers across the country. And for listeners who aren't aware, we have 152 medical centers across the country, and then above and beyond that, hundreds of outpatient clinics. But all of those clinics sort of belong to one of those 152 medical centers. And at each medical center, we have a caregiver support coordinator, or as we call them, a CSC. And their role is really to coordinate programming, support, and care for family caregivers of veterans of all eras. So I think that if listeners go away with nothing else, I want to make sure that everyone's really aware that we have people in each of our medical centers whose sole function is to support them in their role of caring for veterans. So that's an important piece of it. And certainly, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, can you talk a little bit, when you say support, what type of, do they help people find home care? Do they give people advice if they're caring for their loved ones at home and how to sort of deal with that? Can you kind of walk through a little some of the things that they do?
Sure. We have a lot of different programs and services that we offer, and many of these programs have been in existence at VA for a long time. And a couple of those important programs are respite care. VA has long provided respite care, and respite care can be organized in a variety of different ways. It can be sort of a short-term stay in one of our community living centers or nursing homes. It can be an ongoing respite at an adult daycare program, either in the community or at one of our VAs. Or contracted nursing staff can go into a veteran and caregiver's home and provide that respite in the veteran's home. So respite care is certainly one of the services that's been provided to support caregivers. Additionally, VA has long provided home care. So if there's a particular skilled need that a veteran has that a nurse could assist with, that is available to eligible veterans. And also those nurses can support and provide education and training around specific skills to the caregiver in the home. So if a veteran has a complicated wound or requires IV medication, or any other kind of need that a caregiver would really need training on, VA will send a nurse into the home to help teach that caregiver what they need to do. In addition, many of our medical centers have a program called home-based primary care, in which the treatment team actually goes to the veteran's home to see the veteran, to provide the care, so that the caregiver doesn't have to transport that veteran to the medical center, which we know can be quite a burdensome ordeal for caregivers and veterans. So that's a program that is well used and well liked by veterans and caregivers alike. So in addition to all of those programs that are sort of in which care is directed to the veteran, but they support caregivers, VA can also do some home modifications if, for example, grab bars in a shower, a ramp, those kinds of things to support that veteran living at home. VA also, through our caregiver support program, we've been able to implement many different kinds of different support. We have a couple different things that we're doing around peer support. We have a peer support mentoring program in which we're linking more experienced caregivers with newer caregivers to really just sort of partner and talk about supporting one another and hearing each other's stories as a way to make caregivers not feel quite so isolated. We also have a program that is called Building Better Caregivers, and this program is really a newer program. We just started this in February, and it's an online program in which caregivers are grouped together, about 20 caregivers, and they go through a six weeks of workshops around different topics, problem solving, self-care, stress management, those kinds of things. And during those different topics, they're also able to talk to each other either with everybody else or privately in sort of a private chat. And the good thing about this is that caregivers can go on at any time, night or day. So whatever works best for them, they can go on and they can read a little bit and communicate a little bit with the other folks in the workshop and really get the support, again, to help decrease that isolation. So those are just a couple of things that we've been offering.
Those are just great programs, and I had no idea that these types of programs were available through the VA. So this is great to know. I know that you also offer home telehealth services. So, and that sounds very interesting, particularly since there's so much discussion about, you know, moving to telemedicine and to mobile and all that. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about how that works.
Sure. Well, VA is really trying to move forward in the connected health arena, and really because we know that this is a way to get people care who might not otherwise be able to get care because it's difficult transportation issues or because folks live in a very rural area. So we really want to do as much as we can to take the care to the veteran and the caregiver, not necessarily make that veteran and caregiver go to the care. So most of our medical centers have a telehealth program, and there's all kinds of different aspects about it, and I am not necessarily the expert on all of them, but I'll share a couple of things that I'm familiar with. We have some protocols with something called a Health Buddy, and that Health Buddy is a little gadget that looks kind of like a phone, and it prompts the caregiver or the veteran to enter specific information, and then the veteran's care team back at the medical center receives that information and can change medications or suggest an intervention or say, you know, this is concerning, we need to schedule an appointment, those kinds of things. So that's very helpful with chronic medical conditions such as high blood pressure, diabetes, and we also recently have initiated a dementia protocol where a caregiver can initiate some contact with the medical center through this Health Buddy. So that's one way that we're using telehealth, and that's really right in that veteran's home. Another way that we're using telehealth that I think is important is by linking specialists to some of our smaller outpatient clinics. So a clinic that might be in a pretty rural area where someone needs to see a neurologist, but the neurologist only can come to that site, say, once a month, but that primary care physician thinks it's important that this veteran meet with a neurologist prior to that. Well, that can be done over telehealth via some video teleconferencing where the primary care physician is there, the veteran is there, and the neurologist can meet with the veteran and caregiver and offer their input in terms of the treatment plan. So those are just a couple of ways that VA is really embracing and moving forward around telehealth. And I would encourage listeners to reach out to the folks at their VA and ask about telehealth opportunities that they have at that particular medical center.
I think that's great. And as you mentioned, there are a lot of people who live in rural areas or may not be particularly close to a VA medical center. So having these types of services available through telehealth, I think is just great. And I think it's really going to improve access. It's interesting because we're seeing this in the general health space as well. So I think it's really going to improve access to services and people's care.
Right. Yes.
I know another special service you offer is home hospice care. Can you talk a little bit about that? Is it available 24 hours, 7 days a week? Can you highlight some of the services that are available through this home hospice care?
Sure. Again, I'm not the specialist on home hospice and what VA has to offer, but I do know that medical centers have different levels of hospice. Most medical centers have a few beds, inpatient beds, that are considered to be hospice beds, but I think what you're talking about really is hospice care in the home, and in which a nurse would be able to come out and do some assessment, as well as a physician if that was warranted, if a physician needed to actually see an individual to make a plan around changing medication, those kinds of things. That would all be coordinated through that nurse. But then also through VA, eligible veterans can receive assistance with things like bathing and dressing, and even some light housekeeping tasks. Such as laundry, housekeeping, meal preparation, those kinds of things, depending on where they are and exactly what their needs are. So home hospice is definitely something that is an important benefit. And if there aren't home hospice services available through the medical center, the VA can often contract with a local hospice agency to provide, to fund that care to the veteran, but using the local hospice staff. So that's important as well. Even if you don't live right near a medical center, you may still be able to access some of those services.
That's great, and you know, hospice is very important for certain for certain populations, and certainly I know that quite a few people. My father actually ended up in hospice in a hospice facility as opposed to at home, but I know quite a few people who've used hospice at home, and it really has worked out very well for them.
Yes.
So I know that the VA offers training and education opportunities to family caregivers, so a veteran. So can you talk a little bit about some of those? I know you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but maybe a little bit more detail about some of those training and education opportunities, because I know that when you're a family caregiver, you know, it's sort of the, you have, at least at the beginning, you have a little bit of that deer in the headlight, like, oh, my God, you know, what do I, you don't really know where to turn. So I think that this is so innovative because I don't know any other place where that's really available. So it would be very helpful for our listeners to hear about that.
Sure. Well, I think I mentioned building better caregivers that I certainly put in the support column, but there is also a lot of training that goes on around really the role of being a caregiver, not so much the specifics of, you know, how to assist a veteran in transferring from a bed to a chair, but more sort of the role of being a caregiver and how to make sure that you're taking care of yourself and that yourself isn't getting lost as you're taking care of this veteran. So that's one area. In addition, I mentioned the program specifically designed for our post-9/11 veterans and their caregivers. They actually, in order to participate in that program, are required to complete a training. And VA has partnered with Easter Seals to provide a training, and it's available either at are mailed a workbook, and you can take it at home at your leisure, or there's an online version of that. It's not interactive, but you go through the same modules, or it can be you can attend a classroom training. And though that really is a very comprehensive program, it teaches things like self-care, how to be an advocate, how to get your veterans' needs met, but also talks about important things like having a safety plan, an emergency plan, whether there's a medical crisis or a weather crisis or a car crash and you can't get to where you need to be because there's so much bad traffic in your area, whatever it may be, how to develop some emergency plans, how to talk to your children about the veterans' issues, whether they're mental health or physical issues, how to engage family and friends who live far away who are saying we want to help, really brainstorming and teaching some ways that those folks can help even from a distance, that issue of long-distance caregiving. So it's really a very comprehensive program, and we actually have had close to 14,000 people go through that training. So we're excited about that. And because of that success, in the very near future, hopefully this fall, we will be rolling out a series of courses that we're calling self-care courses that are really based on that same notion. So one of the courses will be about stress management, how to manage stress, it'll actually walk caregivers through some things like guided meditation and stretching exercises that folks can do even if they just have a couple minutes. Communication, how to better communicate with your healthcare provider, the veteran you're caring for, and other family members. So those are two of the modules. And then one is on technology. As you know, technology is really an up-and-coming thing for caregiving, and so we're going to walk caregivers through all kinds of different technology that they may not have thought about as helping them, from, you know, programs like eCare Diary, but also even things like online grocery ordering. Sometimes folks who are not necessarily tech savvy that is a little anxiety provoking, but that's the kind of thing that can really help caregivers. So we're going to talk about technology and how to sort of embrace technology and teach yourself a couple of things to get to a point where you can use technology to help you in your caregiving duties. And the fourth topic is completely escaping me. I apologize for that. It will come to me shortly. But it's all in those that same that those same arenas of really helping caregivers take care of themselves. I mean, really, we sort of joke about that whole spiel you get when you get on the airplane about putting your own oxygen on first so that you can help others. But we really have found through the caregivers that we work with that sometimes they're so busy putting that oxygen mask on the veteran they're caring for that they're having trouble breathing themselves. And so we really want to provide them with the tools to take care of themselves to better take care of that veteran.
Yeah, it's really, I completely agree. It's really interesting that you mention online grocery ordering, because where my father lived, he was in New York City, and there's this service called Fresh Direct, which is an online grocery service, and it's been around since about 2002 or 3.
Uh-huh.
And it allowed, even though I lived in the same city, it allowed me to do all of his grocery ordering from my apartment in the evening. It was delivered right to him. They had prepared meals. So that was like one less errand I had to go out and do. And when you're caring for someone who's got a debilitating condition, just having that one errand, being able to spend 20 minutes online, take care of it, and not have to be running around a supermarket for an hour, it makes a huge difference.
Yes, it does.
I know we've talked that you can go to a VA medical center to get information about these programs, but are there other places that you can go to get information online, other locations?
Sure. Let me just share two things. The first is our support line. We actually have licensed social workers who answer a 1-800 number, and I'll give you that number. It's 1-855-260-3274, and I'll repeat that. It's 855-260-3274. And as I said, that's staffed by licensed social workers, and it's open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., and then again on Saturdays from 10:30 to 6. The calls are answered by another VA call line when the caregiver support line staff are unavailable, so don't worry about calling hours when it might be closed, because then they'll take your information and one of our caregiver folks will call you back. So call whenever you think of it. And the folks there can tell you about these services, tell you about some services that might be available at your particular medical center, and most importantly, they can connect you to that local caregiver support coordinator who will follow up with you within a couple of days, actually, of you making that call. So that's one way. And then another way is through our VA, our website. It's www.caregiver.va.gov. Again, that's caregiver.va.gov. And that website has a lot of different things. It talks about a lot of these different programs that I've talked about today. It has a zip code locator, so you can actually put in your zip code and the name and phone number of the closest caregiver support coordinator comes up, so you can call them directly. There's a lot of tips and tools, things like questions to ask the doctor, medication logs, those kinds of things, as well as some stories and some videos of veterans and caregivers. We really are concerned and focused on the idea that folks feel pretty alone when they're caring for a veteran, and we want to make sure that they realize that there are other people in exactly the same situation as them. And so we think that folks sharing their stories and watching some of these videos can get a lot out of that. So those are really the two biggest ways to get more information about all the things I'm talking about.
That's wonderful. One final question, because we are starting to run down on time here, but I do want to ask a little bit about how the VA works with other federal agencies to assist and support family caregivers. I know that CMS has also got a caregiver initiative going on, and so I'm just interested to see how everyone sort of works together.
Sure. Well, one of the great things that has happened over the past few years is the passing of some legislation that requires the federal agencies to complete a plan around Alzheimer's, the National Alzheimer's Plan, so that we have a coordinated response to Alzheimer's. And it's actually, the short term is NAPA, the National Alzheimer's Plan, for folks who might have heard something about NAPA. And there's an advisory panel made up of high-level folks from a bunch of different federal agencies, including DOD, several offices within Health and Human Services, VA, and then there's a lot of people like me, worker bees, who are working together on various committees to educate one another about what's already going on and to come up with some initiatives. So one of the things we've done recently is done some cross-training so that VA staff are trained and are aware of what's going on in local areas on aging and in the opposite way as well. So the agency, the community, oh gosh, they've changed their name, so I'm forgetting. But the agency on aging, they have local agencies as well, the AAA, the local area on aging. And so we've partnered with them, and we're really doing a lot of educating so that when a veteran walks into a community agency, someone asks, are you a veteran? And if they are, then they know who to contact at the VA right there at that local level to make sure that that individual is getting all the services and benefits that they're eligible for, both within the community, community government, and community agencies, as well as through the VA. So that's one of the things that we've done. And then certainly our goal in VA is to touch every veteran. So another initiative that we are starting this year is to offer Reach VA, which is that intervention around Alzheimer's and dementia, with the assistance of Indian Health Service, to Native American veterans who may be in more rural areas, especially on reservations. So those are two of the big things that we're doing. One is get the word out and make sure all of our staff are really trained, and also to partner with Indian Health Service to get that information directly in the hands of caregivers of veterans.
I think, you know, it's as we talked about prior to the show, I'm just amazed at the attention that is now being focused on the whole family caregiver space, and just, you know, what you've been talking about just shows how much it's changed from when I cared for my father, who passed away almost 6 years ago, and now. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I'm so happy for the caregivers going forward, because a lot of the impetus for us to create eCare Diary was the fact that we felt so alone out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I really want to thank you for coming today and being on our show. It's been a pleasure to have you as our guest, and this information has just been amazing, and I know it's going to be so useful to our listeners.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show. Thank you for the care that you provided to a veteran. That's always an important thing for me to say, so thank you for that. And it's really been my pleasure to be here and help get the word out about what VA is doing, so thank you.
Great, and I want to let our listeners know that you can learn more about the programs that Meg discussed through her website, www.caregiver.va.gov. I know she gave that to you before, but I'm going to give it to you again. And I'd also like to thank our listeners for tuning in today. Join us next Tuesday, September 9th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for our live online support group created by and for caregivers and moderated by Marjorie Pabst, eCare Diaries caregiving expert. She will be speaking to Heather von St. James and Cameron von St. James about surviving the challenges of mesothelioma, I can never pronounce that word, and caregiving for someone with that disease. To learn more about eCare Diary and our upcoming shows, visit www.ecarediary.com. Registration is free and gives you immediate access to your personal care diary tool. You can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And my Twitter address is eCareDiaryJohn. Thank you again, and please tune in next week.